You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
The stage is set. The destination, New York City. The field of battle, Rockin' Riley's Pub. The grand prize, Fantasy Baseball Glory. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network's coverage of Tout Wars starts now.
All right, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Tout Wars Weekend on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. If you love fantasy sports, this is a great weekend for you. I mean, and we keep on talking about having you come down to Rock and Riley watching the show live. I mean, if you're going to ever do it, this is the weekend to do it. I'm Joe Galina. I'm here with Michael Florio, my buddy Michael Florio, my buddy Frank Stanfill. How's it going, guys?
What's up?
So turn your mic on.
Yeah, that would help.
Yeah, I think I'll do that. What's up? What's going on, Joe?
Not much. What's happening?
Excited, man.
You're right.
I was excited last night.
You tweeted out that you were stoked, and that was a perfect
adjective. Man.
This is an event, you know, Tout Wars.
Years past, you know, I've come to this one year. I follow along when they do it, and now, you know, we're on broadcasting it. It's pretty cool.
Right. Covering it, yeah. You know, one of the things real quick that I just want to get through is that we kind of assume that everyone knows what the heck Tout Wars is, right? And for those of you new to fantasy sports, just a quick description, an experts league, right? Born out of another experts league, Labor, right? League of Alternative Baseball Reality, right? Ron Chandler was part of Labor. I think Labor started, what, maybe 97, I think?
A long, long time ago.
when you guys were in diapers.
Yes.
And after a couple of years, he kind of got a little ticked. He didn't think that, I think the USA Today, which had helped to create Labor, wasn't giving it enough credo, wasn't, you know, promoting it enough. So he started Tout Wars. And ever since then, I mean... It's an expert league. You have to be invited to join, right?
Yep, and there's a ton of different Tout Wars auctions that we have going on this weekend. Last night was the head-to-head categories auction. So, and then today we have AL only going on right now. Woo, go Nando DeFino. I'll have all Minnesota Twins.
And this thing, it's got its own website, of course, like every other league, but it's got its own constitution with rules, and it's really an impressive league, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It's something that I think all of us aspire to be part of, right?
Yeah. I've actually asked about getting in. I was told there's a long waiting list.
Right.
But, yeah.
We've got years, Mike.
It's something to look forward to. I mean, every year it's... It's kind of like the fantasy baseball league of fantasy baseball leagues, I guess. Like, it's some of the best minds in the industry. They all get together to compete. And there's different formats. You know, there's AL only, NL only. There's the mixed online draft, the mixed auction draft. There's head-to-head categories. We just need there to be a head-to-head points league. That's what we really need.
And I know Joe Pisapia on Target yesterday, they had Peter Kreutzer, they had Ron Chandler, Law Michaels, really the founding fathers of Tout Wars in there, and Joe was pushing for a head-to-head points, you know, industry league, something that can be the standard for, you know, everyone who plays in head-to-head points league to kind of look up to and use. The same way that people are using the Tout Wars mixed draft, all of these different mono auctions, the mixed auction as well. So he wants there to be a standard for head-to-head points leagues as well. And obviously, you know, Florio and myself, we're huge advocates of head-to-head points. That's actually how we started playing fantasy baseball, because it was the most easiest transition from fantasy football. That's what we started with, and then into fantasy baseball, head-to-head points. Look, I'm not going to sit here and knock Rotisserie. Rotisserie is awesome in its own right. I feel like it's been around the longest, and that's not going to change. But I think that the way that everything is progressing, you can't just ignore that head-to-head points leagues exist. So I agree with Joe. I like what he's doing. I like that he's throwing it out there. And eventually, hopefully, you know, we'll see head-to-head points, Tout Wars, or
hopefully all three of
us.
I want to be part of this one day. I mean, but I was telling you before the show, you know, it'd be awesome to be invited in, but then I think I'd probably like have a heart attack right before the, the freaking draft.
But then you'd resurrect yourself.
Exactly.
Because you're fantasy Jesus.
Yeah, because at times I'm fantasy Jesus, sometimes I'm the fantasy godfather. I am whatever you want me to be.
It depends on the day.
You know, I almost had to whack you guys this morning.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, we texted Joe when we were on mass transit. Joe, you know, we might not make it. He goes, you better freaking make it. Or I'm going to whack you.
Mike Blewett holding down the fort this morning with the Roto Experts in the morning, Matt Modica and George Kurtz. I would have kept them with me, and then we would have whacked you.
But, hey, Matt Modica is on board with whacking.
But we've got great coverage all weekend long for you. After our show, we're on till 1 o'clock, and then Corey Parsons and friends, best friends, I think Scott Engel and you two are going to stick around with him, and Jake Seeley's got lots of coverage. So these are on-base percentage leagues, right?
Yep.
And I think some of them, I think the one that was last night was the mixed head-to-head.
Head-to-head categories.
Head-to-head categories. I think that was, instead of overall strikeouts, I think they were using K per nine.
Yep.
Yeah, which is pretty cool. And then one of their leagues, I think it's the AL and NL only, they use a swingman where you could either have a hitter from any position or even a pitcher. So
that's interesting.
I mean they have some really, you should check out.
You got to find ways to be different. So,
right, yep. Right. So you got to check out the Tout Wars website. And just look up the Constitution. It's really interesting. So it's something. If you love playing fantasy baseball, this is no yeah. better weekend to get involved.
This is one of the biggest draft/auction weekends there is. I mean, we're nearly just 1 week away from baseball starting. Next Sunday, we will have the game's kicking off. We will have a triple header. It's also WrestleMania that Sunday. So,
and before that, on Saturday, we're involved in the
Greenwich Tavern League.
Yes, it's going to be an exciting weekend next weekend. Lots of stuff to do. Mm-hmm. Lots of fantasy, some wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Not some wrestling. It's the big Mamma Jamma, Mike. This is the Super Bowl of wrestling.
What are you more excited for, opening day or WrestleMania?
Honestly, it's got to be opening day just because the way that WrestleMania has been built this year, and I feel like you could probably say it every year, it's just I'm not really that pumped for it. I mean, Goldberg, Brock Lesnar, it's not really getting a job for me as like the marquee match, you know?
You think,
this is Lesnar's
turn to get back at Goldberg?
Easily.
Yeah
right?
Easily.
It's almost too obvious. I know it's basically scripted, but...
Right. It's everyone knows Lesnar's going to win that match. There's some other cool matches, but... I don't know. I agree with Frank. It's not built up too well this year.
And still, what's Strowman's...
Who knows? I think he's going to be
Battle Royal.
Marcus Strowman?
Yeah, Marcus Strowman, right.
Yeah, he's going to be in the Battle Royal. What if he just came out on the
Strowman
mound and he was like,
him.
Marcus!
So what do we got now? We're going to go over some of last night's draft, but live right now. And you could follow along online. There's the AL only.
You know what? I'll tweet out
league.
The link right now. We'll have Pete retweet it.
Mm-hmm. Our own Nando DeFino, part of the AL only auction league, and looking at his team. Let's see. He's got Miguel Sano. He spent $22 on Steve Pierce. I guess he's going to be his first baseman.
He currently has him plugged in
the second base slot, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Okay. Who else does he
Tanaka.
Have? Tanaka.
That's
for $22.
That's it.
Bucks. Yeah.
Three players so far. He's
He's got Park.
Oh yeah, he got Byung-ho Park too.
Right?
I'm a fan of Byung-ho Park.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to win that DH job.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
I think Vargas came up lame or something. He's got some kind of underlying injury now, right?
He was playing for Puerto Rico in the WBC. Mm-hmm. I used the term playing very loosely, meaning he was on the bench. Kenny's Vargas. This is where the WBC kind of becomes an interesting thing because a guy like Vargas, who should be at camp playing to win the DH job, chose to go to the WBC and just ride the bench for Puerto Rico. Yeah, it must have been fun for him to be there, but instead of that, you could have been with your team in spring training trying to win that designated hitter job, but instead he chose to be in a WBC. So that is one instance where I think the WBC versus the MLB and spring training, it can work against a player.
Sure.
Well, it also is working against his teammate, Jose Berrios, who isn't stretched out enough and now has to start the year likely in the minors to get stretched out. They're saying it's only going to be until they feel he's ready, but it sucks.
And everyone was drafting him assuming that at least – you know, maybe if he was still going to have some lingering, you know, effects from being a rookie, that
he was going to be in the starting rotation.
Yeah.
Don't sugarcoat it, Joe. I mean, the ERA over 8, he sucked.
Yeah.
He was bad.
But at least you were drafting him thinking that he was going to be in the starting rotation at the start of the season.
From what I've read, it's still the spot is like waiting for him. Like they have people warming the seat for him until
by mid-April he could. You know, if he stretched out enough.
He needs the innings. He needs to. It's not like they're looking at him and saying, "Oh, you didn't win this job." They're saying you hardly pitched the past month. We need you to get stretched out, get in-game reps.
Right.
But back to what you were saying, Kenny Vargas did injure his foot, I believe, yesterday. But they're saying it's not serious. He's not in jeopardy for opening day. But I'm still thinking of Younghoe Park, who's having a monster spring, who is someone that we write off.
Yeah,
because. It's something I spoke about.
He got placed on waivers a month or two ago. And now he's just absolutely crushing the ball.
Well, he was crushing it in Korean baseball, right?
He was terrible last season, though.
Well, last season in the majors, he was terrible.
But I mean,
he showed some pop. He definitely showed some power, but I believe he batted like under 200.
Mm-hmm.
This year in the spring, 39 at-bats, he's batting .359. He has an OPS over 1,100, 4 home runs and 9 RBIs. So he's doing exactly what you want him to do, which is hit for power. I mean, if he can stay afloat around a .240, .250 batting average, I think the DH job, the everyday DH job will be Byung-ho Park's. And I'm sure that's exactly what Nando DeFino wants to hear right now.
Yeah.
Because last night, I was hanging with Nando and some other people. He told me, I will have all the Twins on my team.
Byung-ho Park, though, I mean, I think it's something we do with these international players. We're too quick to write them off.
What about Timms? I might as well bring him up since we're talking about...
I like his upside.
Former career. Hey, look. There's Mr. Ramos outside.
Yeah, he's knocking on the window now. He wants your attention, I think. Eric Timms, I like him. I think it depends where you have to pay up for him, because in like one of our drafts, I got him in like, and I think it was a 15 teamer. I got him in like round like 17.
Mm-hmm.
This was like a month or so ago, and then we did another one like a couple weeks later, and he went around like 12. So I'm not as comfortable with him there, but I do like the upside. I think the power's for real. Like, obviously he's not going to do what he did in Korea, but do I think he can give you 25 homers? Yeah, I think he can also give you 8 to 10 stolen bases.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be hitting in the middle of that lineup in a good ballpark. I think it's a pure upside pick, and there's a chance that, you know, come May, you're considering dropping this guy.
Yeah.
But
I considered him a bust, but I think he could put up some power numbers. I mean, I considered him a bust because, look, if you assumed that automatically he was going to take his Babe Ruth stats and just transfer them over here.
No, I mean, that's not a thing.
And you look at what he did when he was in the major leagues to start his career. Come on.
No, he definitely... I think the biggest thing with him is that he also has stolen base upside as well. I mean, he's a guy who can hit over 20 home runs, but he can also steal you 10 bases or so.
Mm-hmm.
So it will be interesting to see, you know, how he does the season, first season back from Korea. In last night's head-to-head auction, he actually went for $5.
Yep.
At that point, I'll take a shot, man.
Now, you guys were involved in an auction draft the night before, right? So we could use your draft as a little bit off. Also,
Mike
comparison.
Has the results because that was actually his team. But Mike has a bedtime. You know, he works very hard here at the Fantasy Sports Network. He has to wake up
at the crack of dawn.
4 o'clock in the morning or whatever it is, Mikey.
Yeah.
So, look, we know auctions last a long time. I believe it started at 8 or 9 o'clock.
Do you know where Timms went in your league?
You know what? I can find it. Certainly find out.
And just, you know, we mentioned, we just saw Adam Ronis outside. It's just going to be that kind of a weekend, that kind of a day, and you definitely need to come out and check us out at Rock and Riley's. We're on 35th Street between 7th and 8th Avenue. You're just going to be hobnobbing.
218 West 35th Street. It's okay.
It's within.
We can actually give out the address now because this weekend is all about Tout Wars, and it's going down in Rock and Riley's. Look, Joe is not kidding. Last night, I was here. We were all hanging out in the bar. It was me, Nando, Tony Cincotta, Corey Parson.
I was about to leave my house.
We had Fred Zinke out here. We had a bunch of guys. I mean, the best minds in the fantasy baseball industry. You could come out. You could meet people. You could pick their brain. Say, hey, you know, what do you think about this player? You know, what's your draft strategy? Look, people want to talk about it. That's what we do for a living. So come down, meet some people.
Yeah, hobnob with the best in the industry. And Rock and Riley's, by the way, is within the Renaissance Hotel, just in case, because sometimes you might
go
be
to the
walking
fifth floor.
Around. Yeah, it's really an experience, and I was listening to Joe Pisapia last night. He did a great job of just...
Oh, you mean Joe at Pisa Pizza.
Joe at Pisa Pizza, yeah. just to, you know, he really brought out how much fun, you know, and how much energy there was here last night. So definitely... make your way. Why don't we take a quick break, And we're going to go over some of what happened last night, preview what's going to happen today. And also, we're going to interject some news for you. And we'll be right back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. All right, we're back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I'm Joe Glean. I'm here with Michael Florio. I'm also here with Frank Stanfield. Pete Considori doing a great job producing our show for us today. Like I said, it's Tout Wars weekend, and you should make it your business to try to get here today. Hobnob at some of the best in fantasy sports. And, hey, if you want to tweet out to us at FNTSY Radio, give us a call, 844-843-6879. We're going to be having guests in and out of the studio, hopefully, today. We're on till 1 p.m., and then Corey Parson and friends follows us. And then the all-in kid, Jake Seeley, will continue our day-long coverage of Tout Wars. So like I mentioned last night, there was the mixed head-to-head auction league. Right now, live, what's going on is the AL-only auction league. Our own Nando DeFino is participating.
He's holding down the fort.
Yeah.
He's holding down the Twins.
Look, we brought it up, and it's not a joke. Nando told me last night, I will own all of the Twins in the AL-only auction.
And he's following through.
So
he's
far,
a man of his word.
He has Byung-Ho Park at $6. He has Byron Buxton at 21. Miguel Sano at 22. So look, he's sticking to his word. I think he's going with a more balanced approach as of now. He hasn't bid for any player over $23. He has Masahiro Tanaka as his ace. So far, he's doing Nando things.
He does have David Robertson, though, you know?
You got David Robertson?
$16.
Oh, all right.
So, I mean, he's going with, a balanced approach, not trying to overspend for any of the top guys, get all his Twins. You know what I think? You know what we should play for Nando? You remember those Coors, I think they were Coors Light commercials, where he would, like, sing a bunch of stuff and then be like, and Twins?
We're privileged to have with us...
Exactly what we needed.
My man.
Another Italian.
I like where this is going already.
Yes.
Let me tell you.
Pizza Pia.
Joey Pizza Pie.
Oh, my boys. These are my people. What's happening?
We have another vowel in the studio with us.
That's right. One Galena more, Pizza and Pia. We get like a bonus, I think.
Florio and Stampolino.
I got to change my last name.
Yeah, seriously. What the hell
Stampolino.
Is wrong with you?
Stampolino.
You know what?
Stampolino.
Frank, of all people, hey. Frank needs a vowel. Like, you have no vowels. It's like STMPFLXZ. Yeah. I don't know what the hell's going on there.
I'm missing a vowel there.
You're missing more than that, but that's a start. Let me put you there.
Joe, how does it feel to sit next to a guy like Michael Florio, who's never seen The Godfather?
Oh, another one? Son of a bitch!
I thought Joe was going to be like, oh, I'm happy, and then you just told him it's like,
well, no, because I work with, because Dan Straffer is my friend for 20-plus years.
Mm-hmm.
My broadcast partner for good 10. On again, off again. Somehow we keep coming together, no matter what it is. We're boys like that. And I always make fun of him. I say that he has no man card, really, because he's never seen The Godfather. And it's part of your manhood. And the fact that your name ends in a vowel and you've never seen it is more disturbing. But here's what I'm going to do. All right?
Okay.
This is what I used to do in college for all my friends who had never seen it. I used to make a big pot of sauce.
There you go.
On Sunday, get a couple of bottles of wine. You come over, you eat, you watch The Godfather, and then you're a man. All right? So I will extend that courtesy to you.
I will gladly go to Joey Pizza Pie's house.
I mean, because sometimes I'll
the meatballs will be in the pot by 8 o'clock in the morning. They're going to be
really?
Sitting there. Oh, yeah, bro. Come on now.
Don't you listen to him when he does the Sunday football show?
I do the Sunday football show. Yeah. Joe knows the sauce is up before the show starts.
Yeah.
And you go in
How
there on the break, you stir the sauce. As long as it has to. That's a fucking
Is it like Goodfellas when
it is?
You gotta go out. You gotta keep having your brother stir the sauce.
Like you got the razor blades to cut your garlic.
That's right. You're razor. You know I've done that. But I've done the whole like get kind of thin and you liquefy.
Because I don't like big pieces of garlic in my sauce. I like
you know
it
what? I'm one of the guys. I don't even mind. Like this is funny. Now here we go. Here's the cooking version of the show today. No, I don't mind.
Towel wars.
Yeah, forget towel wars. Here's some recipe tips. No, here's the thing. I don't even mind if you use the garlic powder. That's okay too. It's nice to use the fresh.
accent plus the fresh garlic.
It is. The fresh basil I'm probably more of a fan of than the fresh garlic, you know, just because. You know, I got little kids too, sometimes, you know, it depends on what they like. Mm-hmm. But the trick is, you got to get the meatballs in the sauce early.
Yeah.
Because if you don't get the meatballs in the sauce, see, happens is then they get nice and tender in there. They soak up all that goodness. Hours and hours. Like my grandmother, in Brooklyn, she'd put the sauce up at like 6 a.m. morning.
Yeah.
You know what she'd do? Cook it for a couple hours, then she'd go to church for a couple hours.
Yeah, certain neighborhood,
right? You turn it down
the block.
Oh, yeah.
You could smell it.
The sauce. And then church was over, you go home, and if you're lucky, you go to grandma's house, she'd give you like a meatball in a bowl and a crust of bread, like you're in some sort of weird Italian prison. And then you probably eat around 3 o'clock, and that's what you do. That was every Sunday of my childhood. So that's
Have you ever
that's
been rolling meatballs like while talking football with Scott Engel on Sunday morning?
Not at the same time, but I've done them in sequence.
Do you draw your own sauce?
Sometimes I take out my aggression of having to work with Scott and Tony every Sunday. Of like making him as like, you son of a bitch. I'm making them meatballs like that sometimes. What's your question?
Do you draw your own sauce?
No, I don't. Okay. I don't. Yeah. But I'll tell you what, I think that, here we go. Here's another tip for you.
You don't like your own sauce?
No,
just
draw it. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said, do you enjoy it?
Yeah, of course I enjoy it. I enjoy you.
Do you want a fresh one?
I also enjoy you too, idiot. So I don't know. You know, I don't know what my standard of enjoyment is anymore.
He was about to give you a backhand.
I did. You know, if you get me before like 11 o'clock in the morning, I'm very salty. But I find that the Tutoroso brand of the crushed tomato to be very good.
Right.
Not do acidic. Yeah, there you go. So there's the brand you go for.
We jar our own sauce. I have the machine and everything.
Yeah,
so
you press it. Yeah, the tomatoes.
You know, once a year.
That's
in
why
August.
He's got these forearms. Look at these forearms that Joe's got when he's going the sauce.
Those are Matt Holiday-esque forearms.
They are Matt Holiday-esque forearms. Let me tell you. Matt Holiday would kill for those forearms.
So, Joe, you are going to take part in today's Tout Wars. Was it the Mixly? It's 3
I'm
o'clock.
In the mix. This is the third year I'll be in the mixed auction. I like to call it the men's table.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I like to call it. Not along with this NLAL only stuff. I don't know what that's all about. Hey, let's fight over a bunch of awful players for $3. I can't handle that.
So, I mean, I guess a real generic question. I mean, you're in there for 3 years now.
Yes.
How has it changed in the 3 years? I mean, I was telling Frank and Mike, I would love to be asked, you know, it's going to take a while, but I think on the other hand, if I was asked, I'd be so nervous for the draft.
My first year, I was asked a week before it happened.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because Eric Mack had to bow out, and of course, Lenny Melnick, my biggest supporter in life, Lenny Melnick, who I love dearly, was, you know, I had applied for Tout, and basically they said, hey, you're super qualified. If a spot opens up, we'll let you know. And then a spot opened up, and they let me know, and it was kind of like Corey, kind of last minute.
Mm-hmm.
So the preparation time, but it's a little bit different when you're prepping for a snake draft and then prepping for an auction. When you go in there and it's Nando and you look at the room and you see Derek Van Riper and you see these guys, you're like, holy crap.
Yeah, yeah. what am I doing here? Right?
Right, yeah, Corey Schwartz. You know what? But it was great because I remember I sat down there and Tim Heaney was very... a very good dude who I'd had on my shows a bunch, and you know, he sat next to me that first time and he didn't hold my hand, but basically it was like, you know, that dude where I just felt comfortable and he made me feel cool in the room.
Right.
And Corey Schwartz, you know, just kept cracking jokes and made me feel super comfortable, and the vibe was so good. It's a little intimidating that first time out, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, even for someone, if you're super confident to go in there that first time, especially in the auction, because you don't know how it's going to go, I actually felt like I left the draft very well that first year. I had some bad injuries. But there was two things that are the biggest adjustment, and people don't realize this because unless you're actually in the league, the site that it's run on Roto, so that's Kreutzer's site, so that takes a lot of adjustment to get to understand how the free agent budget works on that, to go back and forth to sort the players. It's not like CBS or Fantrax or these other. It's very, very difficult to maneuver it.
Sometimes you don't realize how that affects you.
It has
the way you manage your team.
It has a huge effect because you're trying to figure out, and it's got some wacky like substitution rules, and when you pick up a player, he goes in your lineup, and if you're subbing out by Thursday, you got to do that. It's crazy. You got to stand on your head sometimes on a Friday afternoon. And then the other thing was the trading of free agent budget that goes on in these leagues.
Yeah. I've heard about
that. That is crazy. The buying of players back and forth for short periods of time based on scheduling. It's almost like playing a little DFS within season long.
Right.
And nobody does it better than Fred Zinke. And yet every year we all make trades with Fred Zinke, and I sit there and I go, why are we making trades? And then I do it, and then afterwards I hate myself. It's like when you, it's like, you know, you sleep with that person, you go, why do I have such low self-esteem? Why did I do that? I don't understand. And then they call you and you do it again. Why did you do it? It's like an abusive relationship.
And then you take it out on those meatballs.
And then you take it out on the meatballs. There you go. You come full circle. But that's the whole thing too. And you know what Fred Zinke does, why he's so successful in all these leagues, is he's able to legitimately propose you very good trades. And you would think that in this league, it would be harder to make trades. More trades happen in this mixed tout than any other league that I'm in. Any other one. Why? Because nobody's BSing each other. Right. Nobody's sending you crap.
They can't.
They know, like, if I don't come here with a legit offer, basically, I'm either going to get completely just ignored. Mm-hmm. Like, it's this mutual respect everybody has, and that's why you see so much activity, and that's what makes it a great league. It's what makes it so hard to win, but that's what makes it such a great league.
It's just the whole industry really seems to be a great group of guys and gals. I mean, it's just, you know,
the
like...
The baseball crew, specifically, is outstanding. They are a great bunch of people. They love the game of baseball, first and foremost, before fantasy. And I think that's the difference with the baseball group than the football group.
Right.
The football group loves football, but they love action. Right. You know, it's a little bit of a different edge, a little bit more of a macho kind of edge and things like that. The baseball group is, you know, they're like poets and pirates. You know what I mean? Like that group. You know, they're these, like Lorne Michaels, right? Lorne Michaels is this crazy hippie dude who plays in a band. He's got the long hair, and there he is. Right. Would you look at Lorne Michaels and go, hey, look, there's a fantasy baseball expert? Not necessarily. Like, that's not what comes to mind first when I look at Lore over the years. And unfortunately, I've had to look at Lore every year, the last couple, but I love him dearly. But that's the thing. You know, and this year, Ron Chandler's in my league, which is like a weird... You know, it's funny, like, you have your heroes.
Talk about the Godfather, right?
Right, and you talk about the Godfather. And that's such a different thing. You know, Nando left and Ron came in. They switched spots. And it's bizarre. All my friends in my home league who all buy the Forecaster every year since we've been doing fantasy, they're like, I can't believe Ron's in your league. I was like, I can't believe it either. We'll see how it goes. But it's just, it's crazy. It's absolutely nuts.
Joe, I don't mean to throw you on the spot here, but...
That's all right. That's all that ever happens to me.
We were talking about your first year in the league, and I'm sure breaking the ice on that first player that you won bidding must have been...
Yeah.
Special, right? Or
I don't remember who it was. I'm trying to think of who it was.
That's who I was going to say. Do you remember who your first player ever that you won in tout?
Gosh.
Because I'd imagine, like, you'd be intimidated to, like, go up against everybody else.
Did you sit on the sidelines for a little while before you actually made your first bid?
No, I'm very careful. You know, it might have been Jose Bautista. That sounds fair. You know, OBP league. It might have been somewhere around there. But it was one of those kind of guys. And I like OBP, personally. I think it's better. I mean... You know, there's lots of crap, you know, crappy batting average players that are really good offensive players. But there's very few on, like, low on base percentage guys that happen to be extraordinary hitters. You know, you get a couple of those power guys that do that. But, I mean, if you're getting on base, isn't that the whole point of the game? Getting on base. I don't care how you do it. If you're hitting the ball, great. If you're walking, great. Get on base. Make things happen. Fill the stat sheet. And that's why I prefer it if I'm going to be in these 5x5. But you all know. I'm a head-to-head points guy,
We already brought it up, too.
Yeah, they were talking about that.
And I made the case yesterday. That's right. I made the case yesterday with everybody on Target for that league, and I think it went rather well. I think they were very open, and Peter was basically saying, look, I'm hoping that head-to-head league last night that drafted turns into a head-to-head points league. I think it's time, because we are not doing our jobs in these expert leagues, not in labor, not in tout, not in Fox Sports, not in any of these. Where there's representation, and it's nearly half of the segment of people who play fantasy baseball.
Yeah.
How can we not represent them?
The other day, we were actually on YouTube Live during Fantasy BFS. We had a live chat open with people asking us questions. Nearly every single question was, I'm in a head-to-head points league.
And what would you do in the draft? Because those are the people who are media savvy and know how to work their phone. It's not like my dad, where he tries to send me a text message and, you know, all I get is one of one, and I have no idea what that means. It's like a blank thing there where, you know, you go, it's like, dad tried to send a text message, you know? Or like my mother, who will start do something and then it'll autocorrect to something bizarre.
Give them credit for trying, at least.
But yeah, I think that's it. If we're going to outreach people, if we're going to go in there and we are going to connect with everybody on YouTube, connect with people on free sports radio platforms, connect with people on the internet, the segment of those people we're connecting with, that's that segment. They are the head-to-head points league players.
Right. So I was on Sincott and Engel discussing this the other day.
I'm sorry.
And they were making the case of Roto, you know, saying it's traditional, and it's what, like, you start off playing points league and you develop into a roto player. But I kind of disagreed because I was saying, like, you know, all the people that I play in my home leagues with, and Frank's in all those leagues as well, like, all our friends, you know, young, like, in their 20s guys, they started playing fantasy football, they transitioned into head-to-head right. points leagues, and that's what they like. They then tried roto, and they were like, this isn't as fun. It's, yeah. it's more boring.
It's not. Yeah. It's also very limiting because you're I mean, no, we're up against a break, but yeah, if yeah. you want, we can why don't we take a break, come yeah. back, and we can make our case here without Scott Engel mm-hmm. around, which is always perfectly fine with or without him. But I think there's a great case to be made for the reason of why points leagues not only are open to more philosophical team construction, but also the better representation of the sport itself.
There you go. All right. With that, we'll be right back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We are back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Frank Stanfield has a dance partner. Joe Pisapia is here with us.
Finally. Nobody ever wants to dance with me, Joe.
Joe definitely kills the dance floor. Yeah, yeah.
I do, man.
Wait, which Joe?
I got mad skills.
Two Joes now.
Joe Galina kills other stuff, but not the dance floor.
Joe Galina's motto is, I'll leave you where I find you.
I almost had to whack these guys this morning, Joe. But let me, you know, this is Tout Wars weekend. I mean, it's prime time for drafting season. Let me just remind you that the RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Baseball Package for 2017 is here. And I want you to stay ahead of the competition with in-depth articles and insights from our award-winning analysts. Prepare for your draft with our new, improved cheat sheet generator. Get access to fully sortable projections and over 800 player profiles. Enter promo code FREERADIO at checkout for a special discount on the RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Baseball Package. And Joe, your Fantasy Black Book
yes,
is also
black.
Available, right?
Black.
Black.
How many years now
keep
is
saying
it
the black.
The black book.
Once you go black book.
That's right. You never go back.
I love the promo, too, that you guys play.
All improv. Yeah. We did it in I think, 3 minutes. Awesome. I think I had like two or three takes, and then that was it.
How many years has it been published?
This is the sixth baseball book, the ninth one overall between football and baseball. Mm-hmm. So they're a labor of love, that's yeah. for sure. You know, especially the baseball ones I do all by myself, which is funny because as an adult, you don't get any credit for that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I have two small kids, and everything's like, when you do it all by yourself, it's like a big deal, right? But when you're an adult, and you say, well, I write it all by myself, nobody's impressed.
It's kind of like when you buy something, you can't say, like, I bought it with my own money.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you're just like, it's like, what do you want? It's like, good, congratulations. It's not as impressive. But look, I think what makes the Black Book, especially the football one, I always try to bring in at least another writer or two, just to, you know, get a different voice in there. Also to kind of cover me in terms of college football, because unfortunately I don't have enough time to cover that, and I want to make sure, especially nowadays, that we have an extensive version of that.
Mm-hmm.
But with the baseball one, I think what makes it unique is the fact that it's one voice.
Right.
And you get in some of these magazines and you'll read some one page is this and another page is something almost completely different, and it's great to have different ideas.
Right.
But I think sometimes when you have one system, one voice, one idea, one concept with relative position value, I think it makes it easier to grasp and then form your own ideas off of it. I'm very big on splits, home road,
right.
first half, second half, because I want to target not just the worst thing is these rankings. These are pretty, you know, and I make fun of Seely about this all the time. whenever you say Jake Seely's name, I got to ring a bell.
You can't say rankings without Jake Seely.
No, that's
either.
Why I rang the bell. And I had to do a show with him yesterday, looking at him here, and then his mug on the screen on top of it. It was brutal.
I'm sorry.
It's like two Jake Seelys. Oh, it's horrendous. But here's the thing. So I have this idea with, you know, relative position value, and you're going through the rankings, you're doing this stuff. And what's great about it is it shows you the positives and the negatives of players. But then with these breakdowns, when you see these rankings, like, what does it mean that this guy's above this guy?
Right.
See, I quantify that, and I quantify it for points leagues, and I quantify it for roto. So you know where the drop-offs, how substantial those tiers dropping off are,
right.
and then where the guys go in the negative. This broad brush that you say, well, this guy is the best player. Well, no, he's the best player in this format, in this style.
Mm-hmm.
Trout's the best player, yeah, but in a head-to-head points league, you give me Kershaw every day of the week, number one overall. Right. It's not even close. So I think understanding that, and then when I break down the player profiles, I try to make sure you say, hey, look, this guy's a good DFS guy. This guy is It's a great season-long roto. You don't want Justin Upton in a head-to-head because the ebb and flow of his, you know, long streaks where he doesn't do anything, that's going to hurt you.
Are you worried at all? You mentioned Kershaw about his back injury last year. Does that come into play at all?
Backs with baseball are always a concern.
Yeah. Especially starting pitching, too. I mean,
well, anything. I mean,
you're old enough to remember Don Mattingly, right? I mean, his career was...
I'm old enough to remember Don Mattingly.
I'm young enough to remember David Wright.
Yeah,
the backs are a sore subject.
No, they really are. Yeah. And I think, you know, I even Todd Helton, mm-hmm. right? Todd Helton was never the same player when he had his back issues. He seems okay to me right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the age factor, too. You know, Don Mattingly's back issue happened when he was older.
Mm-hmm.
Clayton Kershaw is much younger than him. So Todd Helton also a little bit older in his career. I think the age factor gives me more positivity regarding Kershaw.
Right.
So I would say that's where I'm at with him. I'm still positive. I don't pay for him in these leagues because this is not the league where he helps you.
Right, right.
You know, you don't win by having that number one guy. You win by having a bunch of 1As
mm-hmm.
so that you mitigate that risk of if a Kershaw goes down.
Right.
See, that's the thing. You spend $44 on Kershaw. It's not as good as spending 20 on Hamels and 20 on Lester.
Right.
Because now you've got cumulative better production at 1 and 2 spots overall. Plus, if one of them does miss time, you're not going to be out of luck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because the waiver wire in these leagues... it's not great. You know, it's okay in the 15 team. Like my 24 team league that Nando just walked by that he and I have been in for 6 years. I think you're on that waiver wire. Like that's how desolate the waiver wire. Like I go pick up Joe Gallina.
He's trying out for the Phillies next season.
I can pick up Joe Gallina or I can basically take a zero. Like that's like
yeah, we're taking
I don't know what's better. Like you tell me.
He's trying out for the Phillies next year. He'll be an NL only.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we're going to give it a shot. What the heck?
Right? Why not? Hey, you got nothing to lose, right? I mean, they can certainly use some
how much fun? We're going to get... we want to continue what we had started in the first segment with you with the points, but how much fun were you having last night?
I was listening to last night's broadcast. Were you listening to broadcast?
Yeah, I really was.
It was bananas.
You were getting... Chandler was getting flashed, right?
No, Steve Gardner.
Oh, Steve Gardner.
Steve Gardner's, he's got that, you know, that silver foxy okay. kind of thing going on. About. But Steve, who's one of the best guys in the business, I'm sitting here. Right where you are right now, and got a lot of drunk, I mean, for lack of a better word, a lot of drunk women walking by, and I think it's that whole weird we're in a zoo kind of thing.
There's
glass between us and lights are shining and people want to like look at the zoo. Anyway, all night I got people waving at us, knocking us, taking pictures of us. They have obviously no idea what we're doing or who we are, but we give the illusion that we're quite famous.
Right.
And here they are, and they're doing all this stuff. People waving, giving us the finger. The complete gamut.
It was
gamut.
A great broadcast.
And then I got one woman who's there, and she's like starting to like, you know, like come on, do it. And then she did it, and I went, holy crap, Steve, did that just happen?
Maybe she was waiting for you to throw beads at her.
I don't know.
We had some beads somewhere in the studio.
I don't know if it was March Madness got into them or what's going on, but it was absolutely. I don't think this happens on Friday. When Cardano's here, it's when I'm here that all the ladies come out. But it was bananas, Joe. I don't know what to say.
Look, even if you like fantasy baseball or not, if you like women, you should probably come to Rockin' Riley's tonight as well.
Mm-hmm.
If fantasy baseball wasn't enough for you, Joe, you brought up a few things that I found very interesting when talking about RPV, and I think it kind of goes overlooked or it's kind of like an underrated aspect when you're drafting is the idea of tiers. I think that's something that people need to use more often.
Right.
And then looking at splits, I agree with you 100%. This is something I always look at. One of the first things I start when I do my baseball research start in, you know, January, February, look at home road, lefty righty, first half, second
all
half.
Them,
and
yeah.
I think it's so
that's
underrated.
How you know what the guy is.
Right.
See, the end of the year stat line doesn't like Eugenio Suarez's stat line does not tell you what kind of player he is.
Yep.
He's crap.
Mm-hmm.
He is crap. I don't care what the end of the year numbers are. Now look, in the season-long roto, some of these guys you can make apologies for.
Right.
Yep.
And that's fine. That's the way it is. But I'm with you, Frank. I would still rather make investments because I look at those guys who have those negative things attached to them, and I go, well, they're a liability to fail. And even in this format, where I'm just looking for counting stats at the end of the year.
Especially with the splits, if you find that someone typically tails off at the end of the season, that'll help you when you're looking to trade someone, no?
Right. Well,
there are guys like that every year. Like Mark Trumbull is going to fall off in the second half.
Jason Kipnis, up until last year, Jason Kipnis, historically, you're talking about an OPS, about 150 points difference between first half and second half.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That is a substantial thing, and you've got to know that. So if you do make the investment in that guy, you can turn around and unload him before you hit that wall.
I wrote an article last year for Roto Experts. You can ring the bell. I looked.
I was on it.
He gave you permission.
I was just drinking my water first.
You can ring the bell.
I looked at
priorities,
guys
who
always had slow Aprils, and it was like Tulalo was one of them. I'm trying to remember all like, but they had slow Aprils, and then you know they pick it up come May and June. And I wrote about it. And I was like. These and they were getting off the slow starts again, and I was like, history tells us that they're going to pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
And
you Mark Teixeira was the classic guy.
Yeah, yeah. Carlos Santana, Corey
Kluber lately.
You could buy these guys 3-4 weeks into the season. An owner could because you
people
know
panicked early on.
Early on, we put a microscope under over all our teams and our players.
Oh,
and,
that first week of the season is always the best, where people are freaking out.
Let me ask you: you talk about slow starts. Andrew McCutchen, past 2 years, has gotten off to terrible starts.
That's another guy. Yep.
I mean, if he gets off to another slow start. What does that say to you? I mean, because we're
Ages
hoping that the change, but
yeah, well, I think two years ago, that slow start,
then he played well. Now he's moving over to right field. We're thinking maybe that might help him a little bit.
I think for him,
if he gets off to another slow start, I mean, what are we saying?
I think Frank nailed it. I think it means age is creeping up with him a little bit. I will say this:
I think he's only 30. But
his athleticism
I mean, everyone's
is
different.
He's a player who relies on athleticism.
He is. Mm-hmm. I think he's a great athlete and a good baseball player.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's kind of the problem with Yasiel Puig.
Right,
great athlete. Not a great baseball player,
right?
You know, so you've got to like
maybe
find
not too
those
much common
difference.
Sense too. You know.
Well, look, I think that could be said of a lot of us, considering the track record of things. But no, I think the WBC for a guy like that is actually a positive. I think him starting off there, the season with a different, just a change from the last 2 years, I think is going to be a mental positive for him. Well, I think a lot of it's mental for him too.
Why don't you take a quick break, and we're going to get back to what Joe was talking about with the head-to-head point league. We'll be right back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And we're back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Tout Wars Weekend. Joe Galina here with Joe Pisapia.
And a little AJ Styles.
Joe, it's almost WrestleMania season. It's almost WrestleMania special, right from here, Frank Staffel too.
Are you a wrestling guy, Joe?
You know, I was a huge wrestling guy in my youth, and then once again in college, and then now my kids are getting into it. So my 4.5-year-old little girl. I had to get her a ring with all the guys
wow.
for Christmas. That's what she wanted. That was the big
thing.
So
who were
the
guys you used to follow, like in your youth, like you know?
Well, like I was in that Randy Macho Man Savage youth of things and spots like that. But in college, very into Shawn Michaels is the greatest of all time. Right, I'm an HBK guy, Mr.
I think
WrestleMania.
I'm cute,
I know I'm sexy. Yeah, so it's HBK and everybody else. But you know,
I could totally see you playing that like while you're making meatballs.
Oh, dude, totally. That's probably happened.
Somebody
already
on Twitter is making a GIF right now of you, Shawn Michaels.
It's Dennis Roy,
with the Joe Pisapia face on it.
Yeah, but look, you know, it's. I'm big on the and you know, being a fight guy for a living in my other life,
right.
You know, I have a great respect for what those guys do, the schedule they keep. People don't realize, you want to talk about athletes.
It's a
those
lot
guys
different.
Are athletes. And it's nice to see like the fit fat guys back.
Yeah, yeah.
It's nice to see like the guys that all don't look like
Kevin
perfect.
Owen.
Kevin Owens
and
Bray Wyatt.
Bray Wyatt. Like, it's good. It's like, yeah, let's bring back the
like
fit
it.
Fat guys. Like I'm on that bubble. Like I'm pretty much I'm a fit fat guy, I feel like. You know, I like to eat, but at the same time I try to take care of myself. But I like that the industry's kind of come there, and also the women are fantastic nowadays
right, yeah.
too.
They're better
really
than ever.
They really are, and like my girls love the women. Like they're so into the women's
fabulous moolah. No more.
No, you have, no more. Like even yeah. like even like Lita and the, with the Hardy Trish Boys Stratus and those. Trish Stratus is great. I love Trish Stratus.
But. Charlotte Flair is
maybe
amazing.
Not for wrestling.
Yeah.
I love her for everything. Yeah. Don't just be nice.
You talk about the fit fat guy. I used to love Magnificent Morocco. If you
there, you go. Yeah,
he had
yeah,
a little bit of a Ponza, but
I had the rubber guys
Wisconsin.
With the old school ring, yeah. with the plastic
I
ring.
I still have those.
You still have the rubber. Yeah,
because my uncle grew up playing with them.
Yeah.
So we
the Hillbilly Jim and you know Junkyard Dog and you know Big John Studd
right.
and all those
so
guys.
Who's your favorite now?
Now is. You know, that's a tricky one. Now,
since you have little girls, do you root for like the faces because that's who they like, or are you like Frank who you
no,
like all
see,
the bad
you
got to
realize my littlest one, she's like me. She likes the bad guys.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, I like
you
the
know,
bad guys
although
too.
I feel like she's got like a little Roman Reigns thing going on right
oh,
now.
Oh, God. You gotta end that now, Joe.
But I feel like she's kind of, because he looks kind of badass. So I think she sees that and she goes, that guy looks badass. So I think that's, she's kind of in there, but like they know who Ric Flair is.
Right.
My 4-year-old woo.
That's awesome.
She will woo. She knows exactly who that is. She understands that Ric Flair and Charlotte Flair, she gets the relation there. You know, I don't know if they've got some, they have female favorites. That's for sure. Like they she loves Bailey. Like little one loves Bailey. And I understand.
It's understandable.
I want to come over here and hug you right now.
Yeah, I mean, come on. That's good stuff. For me right now, like I always think Rollins is good in the ring. I'm always going to be a Jericho guy. I was a Jericho guy from the WCW days too.
Isn't it amazing that was like 20 years ago, and yet he's still the most popular guy there?
Well, here's the thing. It's, you know, he was the guy that first time I saw him, and I was not a big WCW guy, but I went, that guy. Hey, that guy's a star. Why aren't they using him better? Right. And he came to WWE, and I thought, and they did. They used him well, you know, but it's nice to see him kind of, you know, the list. They do like Jericho. They like the list.
Yeah.
My 7-year-old told me the other day she was going to put me on the list. That's funny.
We use that on a Monday night show. The list
of Galena. Yeah,
who'd you put on the list?
But yeah, I think today's wrestling, the actual physical wrestling, is a lot better. But back in the day, I used to like the talking more, the interviews in between.
Oh, yeah, like Roddy
Piper. Because you guys had Macho Man, who was like out of his mind.
Yes.
The career always rises to the top.
Well, he was like nonsensical.
Yeah.
Like, you would just ask him a question, he wouldn't even talk about it. He was like, ooh, yeah.
But if you
on my couch. Steel. Like, what are you talking about? On your couch? Like, ham sandwich. He would just say random stuff, and I don't know why.
There was a big rivalry
between
you
guys.
Ultimate Warrior, too, was just completely off his rocker.
I was never an Ultimate Warrior. Everybody loved him.
He would say the craziest stuff.
He would just, like, the energy.
The 80s were a wild time.
Right.
He looked cool, but like the matches suck. Like, to me, you got to be the whole package, you know. And that's
the
why
matches
I love.
Now are amazing.
They're much better.
It's like even Shawn Michaels could pull anybody to a good match. Like even that, like when he wrestled Hogan that time at WrestleMania a few years back, where he dragged it, like he made fun of Hogan the entire match. Like, you got to love that he's such a dick that he'll make fun of you during the match and what a lame performer you are and still drag you to a good entertaining match.
But George Animal Steel, they were interviewing him and he talked about his feud with the Macho Man.
Uh-huh.
Supposedly the Macho Man in real life was just way jealous of anyone who looked at Miss Elizabeth. So
yeah,
and that was part of the that was part of the feud.
And he was another guy. He was a baseball player too.
George the Animal Steel.
There you go. Well,
he was a baseball player too.
Yes.
Oh, this is great.
There you go. Oh, there you go. There it is. There's the that's what we need. Us drinking beer.
You're Stone Cold. I'm Hogan.
Of course I'm Stone Cold. Yeah, of course I am. No, but honestly, my kid's favorite is Shawn Michaels because I got them the best of DVDs.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been watching a lot of those matches and they think he's hilarious because he is. He's great.
All right, so back to the little fantasy. Are you
little fantasy. All right, let's do it.
Head-to-head points. Look, we have to lay it on the table. We have to present our argument right now. As great as Roto is, I mean, people want to use the argument that the best team always wins.
It's not great. First of all, it's not great. It's accepted.
Yeah.
Don't confuse the two things. It's not as great as it is. It's just the tradition.
I don't even think it's the best team. I think it's the best constructed team for that format. It's also the team that didn't have injuries for the most part, I would say. And, you know, you're only building for 5 categories, where in points leagues, you're building for every single category. Walks, intentional walks, hit by pitches, these all matter. Doubles, triples.
Right. You know, the stuff that happens in baseball.
You get penalized for caught stealing, like in real life. So, I think it takes everything into consideration.
Right, making outs is a negative.
Yeah.
Like, if you strike out 200 times a year, that's a negative on you as a player and possibly a human being.
Right, right.
And I get the argument, not the best team doesn't always win, but in real life, the best team doesn't always win.
I think that is a huge fallacy, and I'm going to tell you why. The fallacy of Roto gives you the best chance of giving the best team or the best owner or whatever is the winning. That's BS. Because what happens in those leagues is, by the time August rolls around, and especially in these expert leagues where most people cover football as well,
right,
these guys are checking out.
Excellent point.
They all check out. Don't pretend like some of them don't. Some of them are still setting lineups, but others don't. And that allows people to leapfrog you in categories. So it's not a matter of the best team winning. In fact, I believe when you've got active owners going head-to-head, if you schedule playoffs properly with 2-week intervals where you're playing each other 2 weeks in a row, like I play you, Joe, 2 weeks... So that way, it like you don't have those 4 guys going twice in your rotation, which is just luck for you.
Right.
That it evens out over those 2 weeks. You play me 2 weeks in a row, we are able to come up with the winner. The best team's going to win there.
Good
and
point,
then you continue on. And that way, also, you're getting rid of the people who aren't interested in paying attention. That's how the best team wins. And points leagues do that, not Roto. Roto is the opposite.
Where people check out in August or even like July as football comes around, it's easy to look at. I mean, to get bored when all you're doing is looking at a standing and thinking, oh, I got two steals today. I still need three more. But, you know, like, say I'm playing you this week, Joe. I could look. All right, I have Kershaw on Monday. He has Arrieta on Wednesday. I'm going to be rooting for Arrieta's going against the Pirates. I'm rooting for the Pirates, even though I don't have any Pittsburgh Pirates in my lineup. Like, I want your guys to do bad. I want my guys to do well. I'm checking up all day on the score. You're not checking all day your standings in the Roto League because it's not going to change that much.
Right. Look, even roster construction. You know, the ability of flexibility in a draft to take guys that are just good players who get on base, who hit doubles, who do those things and contribute across the board. They might not be great at everything, but they're very good major league players, as opposed to these one-dimensional guys who do one or two things well, and they have significant value because of the greatness of their one category or two categories. That's not good.
In a home league that Frank and I are in points, the final playoff spot 2 years ago was decided. The two teams that were fighting for that final spot were playing each other, and it got decided in a Sunday night ESPN game the last week of the season.
That's awesome. You don't
have that excitement in Roto. Yeah,
the Cubs didn't win the World Series because they won more games than everybody else. They won more games because they won the World Series.
Right. Well, we had said, it's Tout Wars weekend. AL only draft is going on when we come back. After the break, we'll take a look at what Nando DeFino's team is looking like. Looks like Adrian Beltre for $25. But we'll talk about it after the break on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.